Good morning. It's good to be in God's house this morning. Standing up here always makes me nervous, so I'll pretend to not be nervous. See if I can put a facade of gold over myself and look good here this morning. But it's good to be here. It's been really good to be fellowshipping here with the church here. Just really want to thank the church here, the body here, for all that you have done for us on while we're gone in Africa. Just all the letters that were sent, the slide prayer shows that were put on. Really appreciate the food shower, the money shower that we received coming back, and just a warm welcome. I've really appreciate the body here and the support that we felt. Really appreciate the mission board, you taking time for us, and may God bless you richly. We're very grateful. We weren't expecting all of that, but we do want to be grateful. It can be not the best feeling to be feeling needy, but to be grateful is biblical, so we want to be grateful here this morning for all of that. Just want to open with a word of prayer before we get into the word. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and commit my few words that I have to you, Lord, that you would just speak to me what you want me to speak to others, Lord. Open our hearts, open our ears, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, I just pray that your word would have free course here this morning. My heart, Lord, and the heart of the ones that are listening, Lord, I just pray that you would be glorified here through my words in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to share with you what God's been speaking to me about, what we've been going through. The last few months has been a time of transition, a time of questioning, a time of what's going to happen, what will happen if we do this, what will happen if we do that, and a lot of, transition, I think, would be a good way to sum it up, and transitioning from one thing to another, and then, Lord willing, next week, we're transitioning again to another phase of our life. But what does all this transition look like and everything? There's lots of goodbyes to be said, lots of hellos to be said. And just look in the Word of God, there's a verse that stood out to me, and I kind of want to move in that area, in that wave a little bit. But just thinking about all of this, and how do we feel when we say goodbye? How do we tell someone we're going to be leaving? There in Ghana, we kind of came up a little bit fast, and we just kind of told some people we meant to tell them, you know, a few weeks before or a few months before we're leaving that we're going to be going, but just told them a few weeks before. And so often we sit together and tell them that we're going to be going, and there in Ghana, a lot of times they have expressions. I say, oh, wow, oh, just expressions of wow. And a lot of times they're not overly filled with joy. They're sadness has come over them, and throughout the last 2 years, and really my whole life, I've said some goodbyes and many hellos too, but in saying goodbye, there's a lot of times that there's sadness that fills our heart, or thinking over our friends that we've had, and over the past 2 years in particular, my wife and I several times look at each other and say, oh, today I was just missing so-and-so, you know, it's just that we used to be together all the time, but now we're not. We just miss them. And but there's something different that I see in Scripture. I want to start with the sad part and move more to the happy part. But let's just open our Bibles here to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, let's start in verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And verse 25 of the same chapter, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I. John chapter 16, verse 6, Jesus said, because I told you this, sorrow hath filled your heart. And so I just want to speak this morning just real briefly on the comfort that brings joy, the comforter that brings joy. Now, Jesus was telling his disciple, I'm going away, and sorrow hath filled your heart. We know the story there of as Jesus was leaving, his disciples really didn't understand what he was saying. The words he was speaking really didn't take meaning in their heart. And then they crucified Jesus, and he was there in the grave for 3 days. And even after he rose from the dead, it seemed like the disciples still didn't quite get it, that Jesus was really alive. And they were just filled with sorrow, filled with questions, filled with wondering, what is the meaning of all of this? What was the meaning of our past 3 years with Christ? Just how do you work through that? How do you go through that? And I really like how John portrays Peter there at the end, where Peter says, I go fishing. Just like there's nothing. Peter's working through his past 3.5 years of what he thought was the reign and rule of Christ on this earth. And just the disappointment that must have brought to him of realizing what happened. Peter, I believe, was a man of purpose. He wanted everything in his life to count for something. And here he spent the last 3.5 years of his life doing what looked like nothing. And here he just made a decision. I'm going fishing. I'm going to just go back to what I know was right, what I know that I had been doing, what worked. And that's when Jesus met him and gave him, I believe, really opened their eyes. And after that, there is no question of the purpose for Peter. So that there's a time here that I want to focus a little bit more here of when Jesus left or is leaving, that he says, sorrow has filled your heart. But he said, I'll send you a comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come again unto you. That Jesus sent the Holy Spirit that will be with us and will be with us forever. You know, the Muslims, they believe that Muhammad was that prophet, fulfilled that prophecy of coming to be the Holy Spirit. Well, we can go to his grave. He's not here with us anymore. He did not leave his people comfortless. Sorry, he left his people comfortless and disappointment, but Christ has given us the Holy Spirit. When I was little, I can remember going to my friend's house and playing. Children here, I'm sure you do the same. You play and have a great time. And it seemed like just as we were really having a good time that my parents would say, all right, children, ready to go. And no, we're not ready to go. Not now. We just set up our house and we just starting to play in it. But someone said that that's the best time to leave is when you're still having fun. And I think that's really important for children. I don't have a child old enough quite to be at that point, but I'm sure that you that do know that's true. And yes, there comes a point that we love being around with people and it brings us joy and happiness. And the disciples love to be with Jesus. I read a quote some years ago. It said, everyone that comes and visit us makes us happy. Some when they come and others when they leave. And so we want to be ones that we make people happy when we come and not when we go. But just thinking about this, goodbyes are always or almost always hard. But the thing that struck me and got me thinking about this, I think we can just turn there, Luke chapter 24. Turn back a few pages here to Luke chapter 24. And this is kind of what I want to notice here. The difference between the disciples without the comforter and the disciples with the comforter. Here's Luke chapter 24. Christ has now risen from the dead. The disciples have been with him and began to understand what Christ's mission to earth was all about. Luke chapter 24, verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted up from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy." There's a difference at this point when Christ left them than at the first time when Christ left them. That the first time we see they were filled with sadness. We see Mary weeping outside the tomb. We see confusion. That we see troubleness of soul. But this time we see that they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I was just reading this a few weeks ago and it just struck me that, you know, when you've been around a good friend, you're having good fellowship and a good time, and then that friend leaves, a lot of times you kind of watch them drive out the driveway and kind of like, wow, that was a good visit. It's sorry that it had to end that fast. And I just always wondered how it was for the disciples to be with Jesus, and especially those last 40 days or so, and just see him, walk with him, talk with him, and now he's leaving. You know, there's a difference between that and the Mountain of Transfiguration. Peter said, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 tabernacles and stay here. Let's set up camp and be here for a while." And here, Jesus left them, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. There is something that Christ had done for them. I know the Holy Spirit wasn't necessarily poured out at this point, but there was something that changed in their life that they had. They could have great joy even though Christ has left them. The Holy Spirit has come to give us joy. That's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy is mentioned there. That supernatural joy, this is not necessarily a facade we put on our face or how we feel at every moment. Even James says that sometimes we're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that sometimes we're going through some heavy circumstances in our life. But we as Christians, that's something we have. We can have an underlying joy in our countenance. That's something that the world doesn't have. And sharing our family struggle that we're going through with the health. There in Ghana, I was talking with some of my friends while we're coming back from Ghana and just sharing them about them that what my sister-in-law is going through. And all of them, they would say, "Oh, but everything will be normal." And I said, "Yes, but, you know, we as Christians, we don't have to fear death. Yes, we are sorrowful. Yes, but what we see, what the picture we see is Christ, he gives us much more than that. And there's a hope, there's a joy. Even that's why Jesus could endure the pain of the cross for the joy that was set before him, endure the pain. And this was just something that has kind of stood out to me, speaking to me in my life of where has my joy gone? What has taken my joy away? Can anything take our joy away? There's a song we sing in Ghana. I have joy in my heart, deep in my heart. Jesus gave it to me, and no one can destroy it. It's true that no one can destroy our joy, but we can allow something to come between us and Christ that would take our joy from us. And I can look back through my life at times that maybe I didn't have that joy and can see through those times that it's because I have forgot the source of my joy. I forgot who was my comforter. I forgot where I get it from, or through something in my life that I loved more than Christ put there in front of me that has blocked the flow of Christ, the Holy Spirit, in my life, and I lost my joy. David's prayer after he sinned was, "Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation." Sometimes the joy is there. It's just hidden. Like this one person that wrote the poem said, "I look all my life. It's like the footprints in the sand. And there's 2 set of footprints along the sand. But At times there's only one set of footprints. And I turned to Christ and asked God, why were you not with me during those times? And Jesus said, it wasn't that I wasn't with you, it's that I carried you through those times. So sometimes he's there with us, and we just don't necessarily feel it. But I believe that he gave us the comforter that we may have joy. Another situation in the scripture, we find Philip on, God told Philip to go to the desert to meet one man, the Ethiopian eunuch, on his way home from worshiping at Jerusalem. He was reading the book of Isaiah, and the Holy Spirit told Philip, go near, join yourself to that chariot. So he went along, and they were going along, opening the scripture. I could just see that the Philip and the eunuch had some sweet fellowship there along the way, and then the eunuch saw some water. He said, what hinders me from being baptized? And they stopped the chariot and got down and were baptized. And as soon as they were baptized, the Spirit called away Philip. I don't understand all that, but to me it seems like that Philip just vanished from the eunuch's eyes. And he said, the Bible says that he saw Philip no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. To me, in my natural state, I would look at that and just say, how could I go on my way with joy, with rejoicing? I've just been with, just had good fellowship, and something about that person spoke to me, and I wish I could find them again. But somehow that the eunuch got the Holy Spirit and went on his way rejoicing. And just that joy that the Holy Spirit brings. One more scripture here. Paul, the apostle, and Barnabas, they went around preaching. And they were in a certain city for some time. And after a while, the Jews stirred up a lot of trouble, and they were cast out of the city in Acts chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust off their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. That there's such a difference I see in the scriptures, the ones that have hope and the ones that didn't have hope. The disciples, like I said at the beginning, they were so full of sorrow when Christ was talking about leaving them. You know, where are you going? How can we follow you? How can we be with you? How can we stay with you? And when Jesus, when they crucified Jesus, he was there in the grave, and the disciples were filled with sorrow, filled with fear. But when Jesus came again, he gave them joy. He gave them hope. And here in the New Testament, as we see it going on, we see that when the Holy Spirit left a group of believers, they left them with joy and with hope. That's something beyond, I believe, a human being can offer. People without Christ, when they say goodbyes or when they leave and go other places, they don't have the joy. They don't have the comforter. They don't have the Holy Spirit with them that brings them joy, that brings them comfort. And this is just something that's been speaking to me lately, and I hope it blessed some of you here, that the Holy Spirit has come to give us joy, as, along with many other stuff. I know there's so many different aspects of that, but it just shows me so clearly what the important role of the Holy Spirit can bring in our life, that Christ has come, that it was needful that he go away, that he would leave his comforter with us. As Jesus said, that more mightier works than these you'll do because I go to my Father. That I don't understand that. I won't pretend to understand all that, what Jesus meant by those words. But he has given us someone, his comforter, his Holy Spirit, living inside of us, living with us. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That we have an advocate with the Father, that we have someone who's standing there for us, and that can fill our hearts with joy, that can fill us with hope for the future, for, as we sang this morning, in the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and hope for tomorrow, that we have what we need for today, and Christ has given us what we need for the future as well. And also, the preparation it brings us for heaven. You know, this world has its beauties, has its comforts, has its joys, but it's just a foretaste of what's to come. We're not meant to stay here. We're meant for something better. We're meant for a heavenly kingdom. And just as we focus our eyes, as I focus my eyes on heaven, as I focus my eyes on Christ, what work is he doing in my life? What is he preparing me for? Yes, in this life, but also for the life to come. And how much joy that should bring us if we really grasp what awaits us in heaven. If I gave you a map and showed you that if you follow this map, at the end of the map, you'll find a treasure chest full of pearls and gold and silver and ancient stuff that's really worth a lot. Why, I think most of us would take that map and go and try and search out what it was. And yet the scriptures is that map that gives us so much more. Here in this life, it's a journey that we're facing. It's a journey we're walking on. And the natural man, I think it's put in all of our hearts that we want security. I think that's why all of us work so hard sometimes. It's because we like to have some sort of security. If we had to only work the amount of days it took to fulfill our needs, we may only have to work 1 or 2 days a week in reality. But we work hard, and it's good to have, the Bible says, to lay up to have so that we can have to give those that have need and also to provide for our own. But there's something in our human heart that we want to have security. We want to have a big bank account. If we had a big bank account, nice house and cars and everything, it feels secure that we have the future under our control or something like that. But this world passes away, it fades away. And like Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Things on this earth can make us happy for a time, but they always fade if we don't see it in the light of Christ. There's a Proverbs, it says that thank the giver, not the gift. And sometimes something that's given to us can bring us joy. I was working for someone a few weeks ago, and he had a tool in his basement that he gave to me, and I was really happy. I was thinking that I would have to buy one or something or another, and I took it home and realized that it's a little bit of a collectibles item, and I was happy for that gift, and I could just be so thankful and thank that gift over and over and over, but it doesn't do any good. But if I thank the person that gave it to me, it brings him joy. And same with Christ. He has given us richly all things to enjoy. But if we just look at the things and take what God has given to us as in and of themselves, how does God feel about that, I wonder at times? That he wants us to glorify him and thank him. And yes, he gives us things to enjoy, but as Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And as Jesus told his disciples when they went out, as he sent them out, that the demons were subject to them. And he said, don't rejoice in that aspect, but rejoice rather that your sins are forgiven you. And so I believe Christ has given us a foretaste of what heaven is in these small little manners. But also, let's not forget who he is, that he gives us joy, that he brings us joy and fulfillment. And yes, this is just a few things that Christ has, I believe, been speaking to me about, not that I've at a place of a good model of that, but as someone that's striving for that. That I believe Christ has given us joy and transition and saying hellos and goodbyes. He has given us joy in the midst of that and just also just a foretaste of what heaven will be like, that always with the person who always gives us joy, there will be no more sorrow there. And just, yeah, what that would be like one day. In closing here, I thought that maybe we would try to sing a song. I don't know how many of you know this song, Fill Me Now, Jesus Come and Fill Me Now. I would like to see it. Okay, it looks like maybe there's enough people that know that song. Ernest, if you could put that up. The words here may be a little bit different from what we know, but those that know this song, please sing out to make up for the ones that don't. This is my first time leading a song in front of a group, so forgive me if I don't do well. If we could just all stand, and may this be our prayer, that Jesus would fill us with his Holy Spirit, and in light of the scriptures this morning, that he would just fill us with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Hover o'er me, Holy Spirit. sing that chorus again, if you could just raise up your hand and sing it as a prayer to God. Fill me now, fill me now, Holy Spirit, fill me now, fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now. Yes, Lord, we do recognize that we are weak, we are needy, Lord. And just ask God that you would fill us, Lord, that you would fill us with the joy of your salvation, Lord, that you would teach us what it means to have the joy of the Lord that is our strength, Lord, that we could go day by day with your joy. Lord, as you left your joy with the disciples there as you were taken up, that they returned with great joy. I just pray, God, that each one of us in our lives could go with the joy of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that it would be a day-by-day filling, God, that we would meet you in the mornings, in the evenings, or whenever we meet you throughout the day, Lord, and that you would just remind us that you are our joy, that you are our all, Lord. Without you, we are nothing. Lord, that our life could just be surrounded by you, that you would be an all-consuming fire in our life, that we would not forget you. We will not wonder, as we learned, heard it here in Sunday school this morning, of those that forsook you. But Lord, that we could just always follow you step by step. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.